thing you have to keep in mind before you give up is that if you give up, the guarantee is it will never happen.
Keep pushing through it and you'll make it through the day.
No matter how bad things get, life is beautiful and things will always be better. Everything is worth it, guys.
Scared? Alone? Unsure of what's to come? This podcast is for our brothers and sisters who struggle with homelessness. Join us on this journey to improve our mental health, to challenge what's possible, to become who we are. Let's ignite hope one spark at a time and set our dreams on fire.
Welcome back to my Street Strong family. Boy, this is going to be a doozy. This is going to be a great episode. Welcome to a refreshing episode of Street Strong. Today, we are going to talk about how something as simple as water connects us, empowers us, and can be a complete game changer for those struggling with homelessness. We're going to talk about what water specifically does in the body. We're going to talk about why water is especially key to homeless populations. We're going to talk about how it affects physical and mental health. We're going to answer the question of how much water do we need on a daily basis, and practical tips about how to obtain it, how to ensure that homeless populations have more access to it. And we're also going to just put this all together about how drinking water is so much more than drinking water. And it's so much more than just quenching our thirst. Very exciting episode. Can't wait to talk about it. You know, as we stand at the banks of this conversation, let's take a moment and just reflect on the essence and the sanctity of water. You know, it's not just a compound of hydrogen and oxygen, nor is it merely a resource we consume. You know, in many spiritual traditions across the globe, water is seen as a source of purification, a symbol of life, and a conduit for renewal and healing. In the sacred texts, water flows with deep spiritual significance. It cleanses, it renews, and it sustains, not just physically, but spiritually. Think of the living water Jesus spoke of in the Gospel of John, offering a wellspring of eternal life, a metaphor for spiritual sustenance that supports our deepest selves. As we embark on today's journey, let's keep in mind that our discussion is more than an analysis of how hydrated we are. It's also a call to action, to recognize the vital link between our physical existence and our spiritual well-being. For our friends on the streets, the struggle for clean water, the struggle for access to water is not only a battle against physical dehydration, but also a fight for dignity, for recognition, and for the basic right to wellness. In discussing practical ways to improve access to water for homeless populations, we're not just addressing a logistical challenge. We're advocating for a society that sees, hears, and responds to the needs of its most vulnerable members with compassion and action. We're acknowledging that in sharing water, we share life itself. We affirm how connected we are and our collective responsibility to care for one another. Water is the unsung hero of the streets. In the bustling cities and quiet corners of our world, where the skyscrapers meet the heavens and the streets whisper the stories of the unseen, there's a tale that often goes untold. It's not about heroes wearing capes or wielding magical powers. No, it's about something far more ordinary, yet extraordinarily powerful. Water. In the lives of the homeless, our brothers and sisters without a roof over their heads, water is not just a necessity. It's a lifeline. Imagine, if you will, a day in the life of someone who calls the sidewalk home. The sun rises not to the comfort of a warm bed and a morning routine, but to the hardness of concrete and the uncertainty of the day ahead. Energy is a currency more valuable than gold, yet it is in perilously short supply for folks who are struggling with homelessness. Hunger is an all too familiar companion, its pangs echoing through the emptiness of an unfed stomach. Mood swings, brain fog, anxiety, depression are constant battles fought in the silence of the mind, often unnoticed by the passerby. But here in this struggle, water emerges as an unsung hero. water actually helps reduce hunger. It tricks the stomach into feeling more full for a little while longer. It's a potion that elevates your mood and reduces your anxiety because, believe it or not, our brains are 73% water. They need water to be flowing. They need hydration to function properly. And without it, your brain cells, those brain cells, they don't fire as easily. And you get brain fog. This clouds your judgment. It can cloud your memory. It can cloud the ability for you to solve problems that are in urgent need of being addressed by you. Applications for housing, applications for an ID, for SSI, for food stamps, in the lives of those who are homeless. Energy is more valuable than gold. Energy is what we need, and water brings it back. It brings it back to the brain, which is 73% water, and it eliminates brain fog, anxiety, mood get better, and your brain cells just fire more efficiently, and you can tackle the day with more clarity. We also know that in the scorching embrace of hot weather, water becomes a shield against the assault of heat stroke. It's a guardian angel for the kidneys and liver, organs that bear the brunt of life's excesses, processing substances that we sometimes turn to, like crack or meth or heroin, in search of an escape for a momentary uplift. Yes, water can even mitigate some of the risks of an overdose, offering a fighting chance to bodies teetering on the edge. Now, of course, consult with your medical provider. See a medical professional. Overdose is everywhere. Fentanyl is in everything. We say it all the time. Fentanyl is in cigarettes. It's in marijuana. It's everywhere. And just a little bit of it can kill you. And no, water is not going to prevent that. But we do know that water can at least help you be a little bit safer when you are already in an unsafe situation. Now, we know that our friends on the street are exhausted. Every day is a battle for survival, a quest for energy to face another sunrise. In this fight, water is your secret weapon. It offers a clarity of mind that helps ward off the temptations of amphetamines or cocaine, substances sought out in the desperation for a spark of energy or a fleeting lift of mood. My friends, I have friends on Skid Row who use cocaine or methamphetamines because they say it gives them energy. It allows them to think. But my friends, water gives you energy. Water helps you think. And you don't need to roll the dice with a street drug that can kill you in 2 seconds. A street drug that, after using it often enough, will actually eliminate all of those good chemicals in your brain and make it so much harder to feel joy, so much harder for you to wake up feeling balanced and even and hopeful and optimistic. No. You don't need those street drugs when you have water, because water brings you back to the basics. It's elemental. It's a form of life. And it's important in this disconnected world that we get back to our roots, and our roots are water. We are made of water. 60% of our bodies are water. The ocean is water. We mirror nature. We have to get back to our roots. Again, don't stop taking drugs suddenly. You can die of an overdose. You have to consult a medical professional when we talk about drugs. This is not clinical advice. It never will be. What I'm saying is that water can give you those feelings you chase through street drugs already. And that might sound crazy to some of you. It might sound absolutely crazy to some of you that something as simple as water is so groundbreaking and so incredible. But I assure you it is. You know, a few months ago, I was telling a friend, I said, I don't know what it is about me today. I feel amazing. I accomplished so much, and it was only noon. I said, I can't believe how much I accomplished. I just feel incredible. And I told my friend, and I said, what frustrates me is I don't really know what I did different today. And that's frustrating because I want to be able to repeat this day over and over. Like, why do I have so much energy? Why do I feel so clear and connected in conversations? Why do I feel so motivated and focused and happy? And why do I feel less anxious? I want to definitely repeat this feeling over and over, and I was frustrated because I couldn't pinpoint what I did differently. Did I eat a Big Mac this morning? Hell no. That would have not solved any of my problems. You know, did I sleep longer than normal? Did I get 8 hours? No, my sleep wasn't any different. My breakfast wasn't any different. What I realized later in the day, and I felt really stupid, is, oh my God, I decided to drink so much more water in the morning. I had half a gallon of water in the morning. I just had two big jugs of it. And how did I forget that? Because I never do that. I was intentionally drinking more water. And how did I 6 hours later not put two and two together? I was so caught up in my productivity and excitement, I forgot the fact that the whole reason I felt so good was because I decided to drink so much water earlier in the day. My friends, after experiencing that, I can tell you water is transformational if you drink enough of it. And we're going to talk about what that water is, how much that water is, what you can do. This gets better. Oh, this gets better. And please know that even a 2% drop in hydration can turn the world into a blur, making concentration a Herculean task, slowing reaction times to a crawl. My friends, on the streets, those kinds of impairments are not just inconvenient, they're a danger, because reaction times often have to be very fast on the streets. My friends on Skid Row get jewelry snatched from them. They get beat up in parks. Their clothes get stolen. Assault is rampant. They tell me how dangerous it is out there. Reaction time is so important if we're going to be able to just survive and cope with what's in front of us in the world, okay? And a 2% drop in hydration. The brain is the first organ that senses the drop in hydration. And it starts to make you irritable. It starts to make you foggy. Something in your mind is not going to work very well. And you're not necessarily going to feel thirsty. Some people say, well, I don't need to drink. I'm not thirsty. But even a small percentage of dehydration is felt in other places. It's not just your dry mouth. It's in other places. And your body is signaling to you that you got to get back to your roots and you got to get back to the basics and drink more water. It's incredible. It's incredible what it does. There's no amount of words I can share on this podcast to talk about how incredible it is. I just urge you to be more intentional with your water. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more because, again, this gets better. My friends, I just want us to remember that as we go about our lives, something as basic as offering a bottle of water to someone in need can be a beacon of hope. It's a gesture that says, I see you, I care, and you matter. In life, every thread is interwoven with countless others. Acts of kindness will then ripple through the fabric, touching lives in ways we might never fully understand. Water, at its root, teaches us about the power of simplicity, the strength of compassion, and the undeniable truth that sometimes the most ordinary things can be the most extraordinary heroes in someone's story. To recap, more water means a heck of a lot more energy. It means your mind is more clear. It means your anxiety goes down. It means your mood is elevated because your neurons, your nerve cells are able to fire and wire more easily. It's the oil, the lubricant in the machine. It allows you to show up for yourself as yourself. It's the flow. It allows you to be clear. It gives you the energy to walk those few extra steps to get a hot meal. It gives you the clarity to apply for housing, to apply for food stamps. It gives you the patience to meet out a disagreement with a friend. Water is key for anybody out there who's listening to this. Very interesting little fact is the stress hormone cortisol is actually raised when you don't have enough water on board. And cortisol makes us feel like we are in danger. Cortisol is a hormone that feels like fight or flight. It's stress running through our veins. And yes, we need cortisol. That's another podcast episode. It's not all bad. It is also what makes us feel so stressed out. And I didn't even know that without water, cortisol goes up, that stress hormone. And that's very bad. It's very bad because we physically feel very afraid and uncomfortable with too much cortisol spilling into our veins. Cortisol also destroys our brain and it makes it much harder to think and to take care of our mental health later on. Now, my friends, There is a wonderful report on the internet, a report by the Coalition on Homelessness. And I'm going to include a link in the show notes. This report was done around 2021. It was done in the city of San Francisco. Again, an incredible report. I urge all of you to read it. There were some very incredible findings in this report about how folks who are struggling with homelessness are getting their water, how much it costs, how much they need, how many of them are having barriers. And it's very enlightening. I encourage all of you to look at it. And I learned some things from our friends on the streets. And the first thing I learned is that the UN, the US, and the state of California have declared water a human right. And yet in San Francisco, at the time of this report, 68% of homeless folks had major barriers to access in water. Major barriers. I also learned that there's an international standard for how long it should take to access water. And if it takes longer than that, then certain cities, states, counties, countries are not meeting metrics in providing accessible water. We cannot be more than 30 minutes for a round trip. And that includes standing in line. Okay, that's UNICEF, the World Health Organization's international minimum standards for distance to water source. So if our friends on the streets are spending more than 30 minutes round trip to access water, that's a problem. If water dwellings are more than 500 meters away, that's a problem in an emergency context, right? Those are problems. So let's ask ourselves if we're meeting those standards in our communities and what we can do about it if we're not. The average man, these are rough numbers, but the average man should be having about 3.7 liters of water a day, and the average woman should have 2.7 liters a day. You think of a 2-liter can of Coke, 2-liter bottle of Coca-Cola, and you can double that. If you're a man, roughly double that. If you're a woman, take a 2-liter and then maybe take a half of that 2-liter. And remember, our friends on the streets, you know, sometimes they have more of a need for more water because the temperature is really hot and they're not as, it's not as easy for them to regulate their internal temperature. And so they might need more water. They might also be walking more throughout the day and they might be more exhausted. And so it's so incredibly important that our friends on the streets not only have minimum water requirements, but recognize when they might need more than that. And so very important information here, very fascinating information here. We talk about how much money our friends on the streets spend to access water. 56% of them spend between $1 and $5 per day. Again, this is San Francisco study. 23% spend between $6 and $10 per day, and 13% spend more than $10 per day. And again, we're not just talking about drinking water. This could also be water for hygiene and sanitation, things like that. These are interesting numbers that give us a sense of where we're at a little bit. 36% of the respondents said they can't access water within a 30-minute round trip. That's a lot of people. And 78% of all of the surveyed folks on the streets were not meeting the international standards for time and distance. They were not living in a community that complied with the international standards for time and distance. That's less than 30 minutes round trip. That's a distance of 500 meters from water. Now, our friends on the streets, 38% of them access water at temporary manifolds, 34% from nonprofits or homeless providers, 23% at corner stores, 14% at SROs or tourist hotels, 11% in public fountains. We probably need to bring many public fountains back. That would be really incredible if we could do that. 11% at public restrooms or pit stops, 10% at coffee shops and restaurants. Very interesting information. Very interesting information. Sorry, I just had a sip of water. And 96%. Of our friends on the streets use plastic bottles between 16 ounces and 1 gallon to actually cart their water around. Now, 1 gallon of water in the scorching heat when you already don't have regular meals and regular sleep, that's brutal. That's brutal. That is very difficult for us to handle. And so you can imagine how this comes full circle. This can be very difficult to access water. I have friends on Skid Row. They have to take four different bus lines to just go to a place that has affordable water in a safe area. And then they come back and, you know, sometimes it takes up half of their day and they're exhausted. It's very difficult. And some of them are a little bit older and it's not easy to carry that much water. And when you can't carry that much water, you use a cart, but sometimes you can't use the cart because on the bus, they won't let you bring the cart on the bus. So it's a big problem. I do want to also throw in the fact that when we are homeless, we are hungry and we don't always have the amount of nutrients we need to power our bodies. And water just helps every single organ work a little more efficiently. Water helps us absorb all the nutrients we get. So if you're out there and you're homeless and you had a meal and it was a decent meal, you had some carrots, you had some broccoli, you had some beans, you had some, you know, protein, that's great. And we ought to continue to do that. But water can make sure you absorb all of those nutrients or as many of those nutrients as possible. And that's very important because you need every nutrient you can get. And I didn't want to leave that out today. I wanted to make sure that we remember that this is a holistic kind of benefit for everybody. This is incredible. I had no idea how powerful water was. I always thought, well, drink it because you're thirsty and it does something good for you. But really everything that I've ever cared about, my energy, my motivation, my ability to think clearly, the ability to just want to get through the day, I had no idea how central water was to that. And so I'm hoping you really enjoyed this, listening to this, my friends. So we're going to wrap up with tips, practical tips, if you're out there listening to this, and how we can improve access to water and make things a little better out there. In our journey today, we've explored the essence of water, not just as a physical necessity, but as a spiritual symbol of life, clarity, and renewal. As we reflect on the transformative power of water, especially in the lives of the most vulnerable among us, it becomes clear that action is needed. Action that stems from compassion, understanding, and a commitment to make a difference. Practical steps towards hydration for all. We can talk about that now. Now, implementing a filter system in shelters might be a brilliant idea. It's simple yet impactful. In purchasing water filters for homeless shelters, this could be a cost-effective way in the long run to ensure that your shelter has clean, filtered drinking water. So it doesn't rely on donations of bottles of water. And I think that's so important, by the way, to donate bottled water as often as possible. If you're out there and you're wondering how you can make a difference, bring as much water as you can to your local homeless shelter. Ask them about their needs. Maybe ask about filtration systems and if they're interested in creating a filtration system. But folks, a water filter, whether it's a Brita, whether it's something you attach to a sink that ensures that the water is purified and clean, whatever you have to do, I think it would be remarkable if shelters huddled together and said, how do we meet these needs? What kind of filtration system can we offer some sort of sustainable, cost-effective way to make sure our residents have access to water? You know, another practical tip out there, if you're homeless, a water pledge, a pledge to only drink water, no sodas, no coffees, no other beverages. Now, I'm not saying coffee's unhealthy. I drink coffee all the time. But when you're dehydrated, if your access to water is limited, it might make sense to eliminate other things because those other things, first of all, cost a lot of money. They can dehydrate you even more, and you can't afford that when the stakes are so high. Now, every shelter should have a detailed water plan that includes availability schedules, storage solutions, and strategies for ensuring everyone gets enough water. Mapping out resources and distribution points is crucial. I think that if you're a shelter out there, it could be really fun even. It could be a fun activity to huddle with your workers, your volunteers, huddle with the homeless population who have pretty good idea of where the access points are around the community and connect these dots, right? Connect the dots and share where access to water is located and come up with the water plan, right? You know, maybe it's smartest to allow access to water early in the morning when, you know, have the filters going, have a designated amount that folks can drink early in the morning to help kind of front load their resources, to help front load this all, so they can wake up and have their energy and clarity right when they get there. It might be harder to access water later in the day. And so a detailed water plan is going to say, okay, where are we getting our water, whether it's through donations, whether it's through a filtration system? When are we dispersing that water? When are we going to make that available? Is it during our meal times? Is it morning time? How long for morning time? How do we assess how folks in our shelter are able to obtain this, and what their needs are, and their awareness, their level of education on the importance of water? Like I said, I educated myself today. I didn't know about a lot of this stuff. It makes me want to be a water enthusiast. So a detailed water plan is going to really map out, how do our residents access water? When do they access it? And how do we ensure that they get the most bang for their buck, and they're able to do this at minimal cost, at with best access, with healthy, safe drinking water? And if we can't provide it, we don't have the resources, where can they get it in the community? Where are the public fountains out at? Do our residents have an idea of where they're at, how to get there? Are we sharing resources? What can we do as a community to bring this into our awareness and make things happen? Now, you know, portable solutions too. Shelters can think of portable solutions and encourage carrying water bottles, plans for refills. Maybe there's a designated time the shelter can be open to refill water bottles throughout the day, especially in the summertime. And, you know, reducing the risk of dehydration, pain, and mental fog. How do we educate about this, right? How do we educate about the importance of water and make sure that this is sort of a rolling priority in how we provide our services as a shelter? And I just want to say, regardless of what your plan looks like, I would love to hear more about it. Please, please email me at streetstrongpodcast@gmail.com. Again, streetstrongpodcast@gmail.com. Let me know what your shelters look like in terms of a water plan and, you know, a water pledge, or what you do to ensure access to water, what your thoughts are on this podcast episode, what your suggestions, recommendations might be for this episode, future episodes, what creative things that you're doing in your community as it relates to water. I would love to know that. And that's how we really get better as a Street Strong family. We connect the dots. We talk about best practices around the country and around the world, and we make things better and more streamlined, and we participate as a community. I would love to hear your success stories out there. Remember that despite all of this talk about practical steps and things we can do, there's a deeper spiritual journey we are called to embark upon. It's a call to reconnect with the simplicity of life. That's what this is about at the end of the day. To find stillness in our fast-paced world, and to cherish the sacredness in the ordinary, and the ordinary is water. It's about recognizing that quenching our thirst goes beyond satisfying just a physical need. It's also about nourishing our souls. Thirst is a reminder to each of us to be attuned to our needs and to connect with the vital parts of ourselves. Water, in its purity and simplicity, becomes a metaphor for life itself, refreshing, cleansing, and essential. By pledging to prioritize water, we do more than just hydrate our bodies. We pledge to nourish our spirit, to honor our shared humanity, and to embrace the living water that flows within all of us. In closing, let's make a collective effort to ensure that everyone, regardless of their circumstances, has access to water they need to thrive. Let's share the message, spread the knowledge, and take steps together towards a future where thirst, both physical and spiritual, is quenched. Thank you all very much. Always a pleasure. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave comments, recommendations. Can't wait to hear from you all, and so grateful for each and every one of you out there doing awesome stuff. Would love to have you on this podcast. Go ahead and email me. We'll get you an interview. The community rocks. I love you. Signing off. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Street Strong. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with every single person you know who is struggling with homelessness. And remember, that famous line from Mr. Rogers. When the day turns into night and you're way beyond my sight, I'll think of you.